Chapter 12. Old Friends and New Friends. Several days later, Bernard had a party for some important people who wanted to meet the Savage. Bernard was very proud that many famous people had agreed to come to his party, including some very beautiful women. The headmistress of Eton was there, and the director of Park Lane Hospital for the Dying. They had all come to meet John. The Savage, however, was nowhere to be seen. When Bernard went to get him, he found his door locked. John wouldn't open it.
"But everybody's there waiting for you," Bernard said.
"Let them wait," John answered.
"But you know, I invited them to meet you," Bernard said impatiently.
"You should have asked me first if I wanted to meet them," John replied.
"I don't want to meet any more people. I don't like your civilization or your civilized people."
Bernard panicked. What would people think of him now?
"Please come, just for me," he implored.
"No," John answered. "Go away."
Bernard returned to the party and announced that the Savage wouldn't be coming that evening. Everyone was furious. The men had been so nice to Bernard, this unimportant little man, just so that they could meet the Savage. Now they were not even going to see him, and the women would never have agreed to go out with him if he hadn't been the Savage's guardian. Lenina had come to the party too. Earlier that evening, she had made an important decision. She would reveal her feelings and tell John she liked him more than anyone else she had ever known. Perhaps then he would be able to explain his feelings for her. Lenina was tense and excited. When Bernard announced that John wouldn't be coming, she felt weak and sick.
"Maybe he doesn't want to see me after that evening at the Feelys," she thought.
Lenina was so upset that she didn't hear a word the guests were saying.
"It's really terrible,"
the headmistress of Eton was telling the hospital director,
"to think I actually went out with him. Did you know that our former director at the Central London Hatchery wanted to have him transferred to Iceland?"
Henry Foster was saying to the hospital director. Bernard heard every word and was very hurt. He had felt so important and confident earlier that evening, but now his confidence had disappeared. He talked to each of his guests, trying to apologize. He promised to have another party, and that the next time the Savage would certainly come. He implored them to stay and enjoy themselves. The guests continued to eat and drink, but paid no attention to Bernard. Some of them spoke loudly and offensively about him, as if he weren't there. When everyone had left the party, Bernard was very depressed. He sat down in a chair, put his face in his hands, and began to cry. A few minutes later, however, he took 2 grams of soma and went to sleep. The next morning he woke feeling sad and angry, and went to see Helmholtz Watson, who had already agreed to be his friend again. Bernard was thankful. He told Helmholtz all about his misery, and Helmholtz listened and consoled him. A few days later, however, Bernard discovered that Helmholtz had serious problems too. The director of the college where Helmholtz taught had threatened to have him transferred.
"They're watching everything I do," Helmholtz said, "waiting to see if I do something wrong again."
"Why? What did you do?"
Bernard asked.
"I read my students some poems which I had written," Helmholtz explained. "The poems were about being alone. The students reported me to the director of the college."
"I'm not surprised," Bernard said. "Their sleep teaching teaches them that being alone is wrong."
"I know," Helmholtz answered, "but I wanted to see how they would react. I wanted to see what would happen."
After that, Bernard went to see Helmholtz often, and John always went with him. Helmholtz and the Savage liked each other very much, so much, in fact, that Bernard was a little jealous. Sometimes he was sorry that he had introduced them to each other.
One day John asked Helmholtz if he had ever read any Shakespeare. Helmholtz had never heard the name. John began reciting passages from Shakespeare's plays. Bernard wasn't interested, but Helmholtz was very excited by the writing, though there were parts he couldn't understand. The savage began reciting Romeo and Juliet, his voice trembling with passion. Helmholtz listened with interest, but he couldn't really understand how Romeo, or anyone, could feel so strongly about a girl. He thought it was ridiculous and started laughing.
"That's very funny," he said. "It's hard to believe that anyone can get so excited about a boy being with a girl or not."
Helmholtz laughed till tears ran down his face. John was offended. He got up angrily and turned his back on his friend. Helmholtz finally stopped laughing and apologized. John was silent. He realized he could never tell Helmholtz about his feelings for Lenina. Helmholtz would never understand. Meanwhile, at the Central London Hatchery, Fanny and Lenina had just finished another work day. Lenina had been behaving strangely ever since the party. Now, as they showered and dressed, Fanny asked Lenina,
"How can you get so upset about one man? It's absurd. There are millions of others."
"But he's the one I want," Lenina answered. "I want John, not millions of others, and I can't stop thinking about him."
"Take some soma, then," Fanny said.
"I do," Lenina answered, "but between my soma holidays, I still think about him all the time."
Fanny was sorry to see Lenina in such pain.
"Well then, why don't you just go and tell him how you feel?" she asked, sympathetically. "And if you're scared, take half a gram of soma first. That will help you."
Fanny's decisive words encouraged Lenina. That afternoon, after taking some soma, she went to the savage's home. He was surprised to see her at the door, as he had just been thinking of her. In fact, he thought of her most of the time. That morning, he had finally decided to tell Helmholtz how he felt about her and to ask for his advice.
"Hello, John," Lenina said, smiling, and walked past him into the room. She sat down and there was a long silence. "You don't seem very happy to see me, John," she finally said. Suddenly, John fell on his knees in front of her, took her hand and kissed it.
"Not happy," he said. "If you only knew how much I admire you. But I don't feel I'm good enough for you. I want to do something heroic just for you."
"Why do you need to do something?" Lenina asked, irritated and confused.
"I simply want to be with you. Why can't you be the same?"
"I love you so much, Lenina," John said.
"Do you mean it, John?" Lenina asked excitedly.
"I didn't mean to tell you yet," John continued. "Not until...
Listen, Lenina. In Malpais, people get married."
"They get what?"
Lenina asked impatiently.
"They make a promise to live together forever," John explained.
"What a horrible idea,"
Lenina replied. She was very shocked.
"For Ford's sake, John, I don't understand you. Do you really love me or don't you?"
"I love you more than anything in the world," the savage answered quietly.
"Then why didn't you say so?"
Lenina laughed. Suddenly, her arms were around his neck. He felt her lips against his own.
"You stupid boy," she said. "I've wanted you so much. Why have you been behaving so strangely?"
"But Lenina..."
John protested. He wanted their love to stay pure and beautiful. He wanted to do something heroic for her. He wanted them to get married. Lenina moved away and began to undress.
"Lenina, what are you doing?"
he shouted, horrified. Lenina moved towards him. The savage took a step back, terrified. In 4 steps he had reached the wall. Lenina walked up to him and pressed herself against him.
"Don't be so shy. Put your arms round me," she ordered. "Kiss me."
"This isn't love," John shouted, pushing her away so strongly that she fell. "This is lust. Leave immediately, or I'll kill you." John looked so angry, almost insane. Terrified, Lenina stood up, ran to the bathroom, and locked the door. The savage stood outside the door, reciting Shakespeare and trying to calm down.
"John," Lenina called from the bathroom, "do you think I could have my clothes?"
"Open the door," he shouted, hitting it with his hand. But Lenina refused to open the door. Suddenly the telephone rang. Lenina could hear John speaking.
"What? Linda's ill? Is it serious? She's in hospital? I'll come immediately."
Lenina heard him running out of the room, the door shut behind him. She waited until she was sure that he had gone. Then, very slowly, she opened the bathroom door. She dressed as fast as she could and ran to the lift. She didn't feel safe until she was in the lift and the lift had started moving.